we are keeping an eye on Capitol Hill today, where Attorney General William Barr is defending his handling of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report, following news that Mueller expressed frustration in a letter to Barr about the way the Attorney General portrayed the investigation's conclusions in his four-page summary. Joining us now is Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia. Welcome back to Here and Now.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks.
And what do you make, first of all, of the news of Robert Mueller's frustration about the way that Attorney General William Barr portrayed the Mueller report in his four-page summary?
If I were Robert Mueller, I'd be incredibly frustrated because I read the four-page summary and then I read the Mueller report. And the four-page summary is a political spin job. It doesn't even make an attempt to accurately characterize the 400-page report. And once you get the full report, even with redactions, you can see the severity of the conduct that is essentially found by Mueller with no real pushback against his factual findings. And no, if I were Robert Mueller, I would be incredibly frustrated that the Attorney General is acting like Donald Trump's defense lawyer or a TV commentator rather than the Attorney General of the United States.
Do you support the impeachment of William Barr?
You know, look, there are other issues that I'm focused on right now, but I was very convinced that he should not be the AG, and this has just proven it.
I want to ask you about what we're seeing in Venezuela as well. You were at the Colombia-Venezuela border recently. As you watch what's going on there, do you think that the U.S. should continue to back the opposition leader, Juan Guaido? Should it get more involved? Should it stay, about as involved as it is? What do you think?
Well, I think we should back Juan Guaido because I think Juan Guaido is the legitimate interim president of Venezuela. The Venezuelan Constitution has a provision that says if the National Assembly acts to declare a vacancy in the office of the president, that the Speaker of the Assembly then becomes an interim president until new elections. The Venezuelan National Assembly, at great personal risk, courageously took that vote in January, that because of the incredible irregularities in the presidential election, they declared a vacancy in the office of the president. So Juan Guaido, he is the legitimate president of Venezuela pursuant to its constitution and the vote of the assembly. 60 nations have recognized that. So yes, we should continue to support President Guaido. How should we do it? We should do it through humanitarian aid. We should do it through diplomatic efforts to gather the coalition of nations to provide support. We should do it through sanctions on the illegitimate Maduro regime. We should especially work with neighboring countries and the Organization of American States because they have a lot at stake in trying to help bring resolution to the situation in Venezuela.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said yesterday that Russia stopped Maduro from leaving Venezuela and taking refuge in Cuba. Maduro denies that. Are you worried at all that this is becoming kind of a proxy conflict between the United States and Russia?
Well, you know what, Jeremy, not just the United States and Russia. If you go to that border and talk to the immigrants, as I did, I'm fluent in Spanish because I was a missionary in Honduras. So I just went to the border and I just talked to some of the 40,000 who are coming across the border every day in Cucuta, Colombia, and asked them why. Why are you leaving? And it was mothers with young children and pregnant moms and working folks and children and 60 and 70-year-olds leaving everything they've known. This is not just a proxy war between the U.S. and Russia. It is a demonstration of the difference between democracies and authoritarian nations. Colombia is a democracy that's on the advance. They have a lot of challenges. And Venezuela is an authoritarian nation that's propped up by Cuba, propped up by Russia, propped up by China. What you see is what you're seeing around the globe, a contest between the democratic model of governance and an authoritarian model of governance.
I want to ask you about one more thing that I know is an important issue for you personally. The Senate is scheduled to vote tomorrow on an override of President Trump's veto on the Yemen resolution. That resolution calls on the U.S. to end military support for Saudi Arabia in its war in Yemen. It appears you don't have the votes in the Senate to override the president's veto. So are you out of options to do anything about U.S. support for the war there?
Well, this is a tough one. I'm really happy that the Senate and the House expressed a repudiation of the president's unilateral decision to put the U.S. military forces behind the Saudis in an unwise intervention in the civil war in Yemen. To overcome the president's veto, we have to get to 67 votes, and you're right, it will be tough, but we still need to plow forward on this, Jeremy, for two reasons. One, the civil war in Yemen is a humanitarian disaster, and the Saudis have made it worse, and there's no way the U.S. should be associated with that. And second, the relation that this administration is forging with the Saudis is very troubling. The murder of Virginia resident Jamal Khashoggi and then the Saudis doing that murder and then lying about it, and thus far without any real consequence from the United States. We found out a month ago that the Trump administration has approved secret transfers of nuclear technology to the Saudis. These transfers would have been made public by previous administrations. The Trump administration is keeping them quiet. There have been news that the Saudis are building up a missile program, some reporting suggests, with missile sites arrayed both toward Tehran but also toward Israel. And yet the administration has given the Saudis a complete green light to do whatever they want. The relationship with the Saudis is way out of balance right now, and we're not holding them accountable on areas, and it's going to make the Middle East, it's already making the Middle East more dangerous.
That is Senator Tim Kaine, a Democrat from Virginia. Senator, thanks as always for joining us.
Absolutely.